Welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. And we're going to continue a tradition here at KAJO Radio that's gone on for many, many years, more years than I can remember. It's been our pleasure to sit in with some of these fine people over the last few years, and we're going to continue to do that today. We have three guests in studio today from Alcoholics Anonymous, and we've got Wayne, Lisa, and Kashmir. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio. Just want to say good morning here. We'll hear your voices.
Good morning. My name's Lisa. I'm an alcoholic.
Good morning. I'm Wayne. I'm an alcoholic.
Good morning. I'm Kashmir, a recovered alcoholic.
Ah, okay. All right. Thank you all very much. Might lean in just a little bit more on those microphones. And we were talking earlier just about which way this program would go this morning. I will just start off here with I'd like to ask just each of you to briefly give us a little picture of your story here in 5 or 6 minutes. And I know that 5 or 6 minutes, how can I do that in 5 or 6 minutes? But just give people an idea of what people have been through. And currently, while we're here, it's to let know that there's help out there this particular time of year as we come up on New Year's. There is help and some things going on around the Southern Oregon that might be of help to you if you're in need or concerned about probably the consumption of alcohol. We're just dealing with alcohol here today. Is that correct? Everybody's nodding yes.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Well, Kashmir, I'll just start with you. You're there on the end. I should describe the studio to you, but I couldn't do it justice right now. She just happens to be at the end of the desk here.
The end of the desk, lucky me. My name is Kashmir, recovered alcoholic. And I want to start out by saying that New Year's Eve through New Year's Day from 2 o'clock in the afternoon on, 24 hours later, we are going to have our doors open at the High-Low Club, which the address is 668 Lincoln Road. So I just want to make sure if that's something people need, a place to go.
Yeah, that's the intersection of Lincoln Road and Bridge.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. And okay. I still am a proponent. Addiction is addiction. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking just to keep yourself safe, whether you're drinking or using, and this is a place you feel you can come and relax and listen to people and just converse, this is a safe neighborhood to be in.
Okay, and this starts when and goes how? 24 hours?
24 hours. Okay. Yeah, we did this Christmas Eve through Christmas Day, and we actually extended it through the evening because we had meetings afterwards. Mm-hmm. We had a dinner at 3, and then we had a gift giving, and we just kept sharing, so it was quite lovely. Went on for 24 hours.
Okay, and this is coming up on New Year's also.
Yes, it is. So we're doing it without the gift giving, but other than the presence of being with others who
I was going to say, that's the gift in itself, isn't it?
Right, and I think that's the most best way to start. My story is that by the time I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I had been drinking and using for quite some time. But prior to that, the reason, or my story is I had a very ugly upbringing, violent, and got the message loud and clear that I felt I was unworthy, unloved, unwanted, which propelled me into thinking I needed to be rescued. And the best way I found to be rescued was with a man. Hence, I've been married 6 times. And all those in and out of sobriety. By the time I got to AA, I still had those thoughts and feelings, but I knew I desperately needed to stop drinking. I had gotten myself into a very bad physical way. I had liver failure, kidney failure. I was 200 pounds, which I am not now, but at the time I was dying slowly and painfully, and I couldn't not drink. I just couldn't stop. So I found my way to the last time I detoxed myself. My enabling husband at the time left for a few days, and I locked myself in my house, so to speak. I just drank everything in the house and then stopped. And after a few days and got through the DTs, I picked up a phone book. This shows you how far back we go.
And a phone book.
And called central office and gave them my real number, which those of you who have ever been out dating, you never give your real number. and those kind folks, they asked me, do you mind if we check on you? And I said, sure, because I didn't know what to expect. And they did. And they continued to call once a day just about until I finally got into a meeting. And I found there I was confused, overwhelmed, sideways thinking. But there's a sense of nobody's judging me. We're all here for a similar reason, and I didn't even know what that was. I just knew I didn't want to feel like I was feeling anymore. And the longer I stayed, the more I listened, actually took the time to talk to certain women, even some men, and found a very healthy appreciation. Just, we understand, and just keep coming back. And it's been more than 12 years. I've been in recovery now, and I've the journey's never easy. Life is not always easy. But for me, the connections and the friendships and just the whole way of living through the 12 and 12 has made my life better. That's my story.
All right.
Awesome.
Well, Kashmir, thank you very much. Next in a row, Lisa, welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio here. You want to share, what would you like to share with us this morning?
Like I said, my name's Lisa. I'm an alcoholic. I like to ask God to give me the right words, the right attitude, and to be myself no matter what, anytime I come into a situation where I don't quite know what to say. And so a little bit about how I got into Alcoholics Anonymous. I was speaking to this person who I used to be a personal trainer back in my old life, and I had talked about relationship issues and food issues with this person who was very loving and kind and kind of spiritually flowy and just full of joy. And she said, have you ever heard of the 12 steps of AA? And that was the first I'd ever heard of it. And so we started talking. Turned out she'd been sober for 33 years. And to me, the word sober sounded like somber. And so I never wanted to give up alcohol. But the last few years of my drinking, there was no more fun left. It was just I really needed a drink. As soon as I got it, I knew that I didn't want to drink anymore and that I couldn't stop. And so I shared with our little crew before we came into the studio that that I thought that my ex-husband was the problem, got rid of him, had another 3 years of thinking that I was going to be the mom that I always thought I could be, and instead putting the boys in front of the video games and taking my bottle and my pack of cigarettes outside. And everything just got very small. I didn't get into any legal trouble. I did get pulled over for, and tested, field sobriety tested, more than one time, but I never did get arrested. But what happened for me was I was, what we say in the rooms is spiritually bankrupt. I just had this hole inside of my soul that I was trying to fill with, anything that I could. I wasn't, letting anybody know how I drank. So there was like maybe one person in the world who, knew who I really was, but otherwise I was really leading a double life, acting one way on the outside. And then just everything was very close inside and closeted. And so so for 3 years, my world got small. I would drink at home before I went out to drink normally with normal people. And then I would go home and finish the job. And so I liked to drink to I didn't know it was blackout until I got into the rooms of AA. But that's, doing things that you don't remember doing, coming home and not knowing how you got there, waking up with people who you would rather not wake up with, those kinds of, we call it in the big book, incomprehensible demoralization. So I had a lot of those experiences throughout my drinking. So I started drinking at about 14, and it got I got to be a daily drinker, for more than 20 years. I did not drink when I was pregnant with my kids, but that just made everybody else around me unhappy because I was so unhappy to be sober through that. There's somebody in the program who I used to hear say, you don't have to ride the elevator all the way to the bottom before you get off. And that's kind of how I feel it happened for me. I just knew that, the other shoe was going to drop, and I knew that something bad was going to happen. And it just happened that I had met this person who was sober in AA, so I knew where to go. My last drunk was, in a Skype call in a long-distance relationship, telling yet another person what their problem was and not understanding that the problem was me. So getting into Alcoholics Anonymous, going through the steps, which we're going to talk about a little bit, I think, after we all tell a little bit of our stories, how that helps me not drink today and grow spiritually and emotionally. That's it.
All right, Lisa, thank you very much. Wayne is with us, and Wayne, you're a repeat guest here on the end of the year. So welcome back, as a matter of fact.
Thank you, Chuck. My name is Wayne. I'm an alcoholic. Good to be here. Good to be sober. I didn't make that line up. I stole it from somebody else because it's true today. I don't believe that Alcoholics Anonymous has a monopoly on recovery. I really don't believe that. But I think, for me, why would I try anything else? It has worked extremely well. But I think only an alcoholic that is still in the grips of this disease understands what total loneliness is about. You know, the holiday time, I'm drinking alone, and I can't stop, and I know that. And I have to put on a front to those people who may show up, who I may be around, and my life is just dark and gray, and it's not getting any better. And anyway, I that's neither here nor there. That's just Wayne's opinions. But I grew up in the Valley. I grew up in Medford, and my relatives all came from a little town called Butte Falls, where everybody wore flannel, and Grandma had a shotgun by the side of her door, or where the door should have been, and it got used on a regular basis, and everybody drank, and it wasn't even, and nobody had any issues with drinking. I think I come from a long line, but I couldn't see that until later on. So somewhere in the 70s, actually it was in Udorn Thani, Thailand, I was directed to my very first AA meeting. I didn't know it was a meeting at that time. See, I had just started my career, my drinking career, and the squadron commander...
It's a career.
Yes, it's my squadron commander had issues with my drinking. Now, granted, we talk about alcohol because this is Alcoholics Anonymous. I did every drug that was known to mankind, and I enjoyed every one. But I found recovery in Alcoholics Anonymous, so out of respect for this, I'll try to keep it with. Anyway, so I get home, and the lights start coming on behind me. Josephine County, Jackson County, Medford City Police, Jacksonville City Police. And it's kind of funny. I hear people like, Lisa, I got pulled over. I did a field sobriety, and I passed. Wayne never passed. Wayne went to jail every
Frequent
time.
Flyer?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So five DUIs later, three convictions, a diversion, and hundreds that I should have had, hundreds. I'm grateful today that I didn't kill myself or anybody else, that there was no injuries involved. Anyway, so every time I got one of these, they would direct me to the court system to relieve me of some money, direct me to AA meetings with a get well card or a court card, whatever. You got to get them signed by the secretary. And I didn't like anything I saw about Alcoholics Anonymous. You're talking about God. Guys are hugging guys. It's just everything about it. I just have an issue with, I need my license back. Thank you. And I wasn't willing to do the things that were suggested. The same things we hear in today's meetings were said then. Get a sponsor, get a big book, work the steps, and your life will change. And they told me the main purpose of this book is to find a power greater than myself that can solve my problems. And that has happened. But it didn't happen then. I would go on to get more and more of these DUI convictions and be directed back to more and more of these A&A meetings. And over time, I started to like what I saw in these rooms, and but I just wasn't. I just couldn't get involved. And my very fear was, if I joined your clique, what will become of Wayne? No more spontaneity. There will be no more fun in my life. No, there wasn't a lot of fun doing a field sobriety test on Riverside Avenue at 2 a.m., especially when my. I swear it was somebody that I worked with drove down the street at the same time and yelled my name out, loser. Anyway, it's like, you know, the whole world saw me for what I was, but I'm still trying to hide it. At the very end, after that fifth DUI conviction, I know I'm an alcoholic. I know I shouldn't drink. I got that part down. But I am thoroughly convinced. I've been to enough of those other meetings as well. And I've probably been to a couple hundred A&A meetings, and I liked the people. But I thought, you know, I'm not an addict. And I had some of the stuff that grows in Humboldt County before they legalized it here in Jackson County. And I thought, I never went to jail for smoking that stuff. Certainly I can just go ahead and drag out a little bud, pack it in my bong. But what happens, and our book addresses this, the bud turns to Bud Light, and I'm drinking like I never quit. Mm. And I can't quit. So for the next 2.5 years, I'm getting up every morning saying, I don't want to drink today. I'm going to do whatever it is that normal people do. And I can't. by the end of the night, I will be totally wasted. And at the end, I knew that was going to be happening. And yet I'm still lying to myself. I was wanting to be directed back to Alcoholics Anonymous. And there was a meeting in downtown Jacksonville at that time called The Hole in the Wall, behind the purple door at the Calvary Church. And another set of circumstances, I was directed to an EAP counselor who asked me a question, do you drink? I think I just let out enough for him to understand, yes, Wayne does drink. And I got honest with him. I said, only to excess. and he said, I would like you to go back to a couple of those meetings before I see you again. And I was waiting for that. I wanted that. I felt like the cancer patient waiting for the dose of chemo or whatever. And I walked in there. The fear I had, the reason I couldn't go back on my own is you will judge me. Or, look, there's Wayne again. He's probably an alcoholic. Well, if it's an AA meeting, I hope there's a bunch of alcoholics. Or he's probably too weak to do this on his own. I have no more power over alcohol today than I had 26 years ago. I just don't. But what happened is they met me at the door and they said, Wayne, welcome home, brother. Good to see you alive. And I get that today. We don't shoot our wounded. If we did, I wouldn't be here today. And for whatever reason of my life, I had met that level of desperation that I was willing to do anything. I got the sponsor. I got the book. I started working the steps, and my life began to change. And it was kind of funny. I was smoking in those days. We had a smoke break during the meeting. I'm out there in the parking lot smoking with the other people, and my supervisor drives by, and the next day at work he says, Wayne, I saw you in the church parking lot smoking with a bunch of people. You going to church now? And I didn't want to tell him I'm going to AA. I'm trying to better my life. You know. Mm-hmm. Now, he's seen me at Riverside Avenue at 2 a.m. on the field sobriety, but I don't want to let him know I'm trying to get healthy, you know. And what a ride this has been. This is the fear I had that my life will be over was such a fallacy. My life was just beginning. I needed a passport just to get to White City. And just a little joke there, whatever. I couldn't get off my deck. I was legally intoxicated an hour after I got off work, and I just could not move. And I knew one more DUI was going to be some state time. I had a judge tell – Judge Ingress Pass told me that. And but you can't scare an alcoholic into quitting. Mm-hmm. And so what I didn't know is my life was about to begin. And I've been halfway around the world numerous times on motorcycle trips with 20-some other people, 2,000 miles down to Nevada, down to Arizona, just to go to an AA conference and eat like the pigs that we are, of course. We ride, we eat, we ride, we eat. But we stay sober together. And I didn't realize what a legacy we leave behind us as well. So many places we have been to as a group in Alcoholics Anonymous, the owner of the establishment would say, when can you come back? When do we get to see you again? And that wasn't happening before I got here. So one visit was just about enough. Thank you. And like I said, I thought my life was going to be over. I didn't realize it's just the beginning of a new life. And anyway. That's enough out of me. Thanks,
all right.
Chuck.
All right, Wayne. I've got a couple of commercials to get in here, and then we'll be right back with these three fine people today, and we want to thank them for their time. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone. Once again, we have guests from Alcoholics Anonymous here as we get ready to face this new year, this New Year's Eve coming in. And there's help out there, and there are some places to go because we know that the High Low Club here in Grants Pass at the corner of Bridge and Lincoln will have 24-hour services. And we'll deal with that. There's some phone numbers here locally, both here and in Jackson County, that are available to call and get some help if you want to. And Lisa, you want to share those?
Yeah, absolutely. First, there's Grants Pass Central Office. It's at 432 Northwest 6th Street, room 202. That's on the 26 side of town. Phone number is 541-474-0782. And you can look them up online, grantspassaa.com. And then in Medford, the central office is at 116 East 6th Street. Phone number is 541-732-1850, and the website is jccoaa.org. And then we've got Al-Anon and Alateen. So if you're, you know, family, if you were in a family with alcoholics and would like some help supporting you around that, the phone number is 1-888-425-2666. And website is al-anon.org.
That Al-Anon and Alateen, that's probably just as important as particularly for family members of alcoholics as the AA program itself. Is that fair?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yes. Yep. Same. Same solution, different problem.
Okay. And a little bit different way to attack it.
Mm-hmm.
At least the mindset is that way. This is a traditional talk show that we have here at the end of the year on KAJO Radio, and have had for years. We want to thank all of these fine people here. Just real quickly. If there's a person out there who says, I'm not an alcoholic, but I am a social drinker, are there signs that we should look for? Anybody want to? Has everybody been there once?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I was just reading last night in the book that says, not that we recommend this, but if you're already drinking, if you think you can go do some controlled drinking, then we recommend you go out and try to control it and see how long that lasts.
Okay.
So
we have a couple tests in the book, and one would be to start and stop abruptly.
Yeah.
It didn't work for me. And the other is to swear off for a year. I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a good test if you're even considering. Most non-alcoholics don't even entertain that thought.
All right. And if you have any questions about that, we'll pass those phone numbers to you once again, probably several times throughout the program. In the meantime, stay tuned. More to come right here on KAJO Radio.
Do you currently...
Welcome back to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. It is a tradition here in KAJO Radio and Grants Pass Broadcasting that we share with you, our friends and neighbors, some words from Alcoholics Anonymous as we approach that New Year's Day that... seems to have a big impact on a lot of people's lives here. But if you're looking for help this, as a matter of fact, I was going to say this coming weekend, but anytime, actually, there's some numbers to call for AA. Lisa, you're going to share those with us again. Let's get those numbers out.
Yeah, absolutely. In Grants Pass, you can call 541-474-0782, or you can go to grantspassaa.com. You could also just Google AA Grants Pass, and you'll get some resources there. And then in Medford, the central office, hotline number 541-732-1850. Website is jccoaa.org, and there's all kinds of resources, Alateen, Al-Anon, Alcoholics Anonymous, anything you could possibly need for your recovery needs.
All right. Well, if I call one of those numbers, what am I going to get? What kind of information are they going to ask me?
You're going to get a real live person who's just going to offer help and ask how you're doing, what you need, kind of a deal.
So, okay.
Yep.
All right.
So just like one of us right now.
And even if it's after hours, after 4 o'clock in Jackson County Central Office, you'll be patched through to our hotline. And if you have a question they can't answer, they will patch you through to a real live alcoholic at home.
There's help out there.
There is help out there.
Anytime.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Even at 2 a.m.
Yeah, okay. Kashmir, you mentioned, let's run down what's going to happen this weekend out at the Al-Anon.
Oh, yeah.
Or at the Hilo Club.
At the Hilo Bridge in Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
Better than the address. Starting around 2 o'clock, and of course we have meetings there from noon on. I believe there's even a morning meeting. There's women's meetings as well. But for New Year's, we're doing 24 hours from 2 o'clock. It should be every 45 minutes, so it gives you a 15-minute break, and it starts at the top of the hour. We will be open. The doors will be open for anybody who's looking for support or just to be in a safe place.
All right. Who should be calling? Who should be arriving? Who should be seeking you out?
Anybody who is aware that they're not living their best life. That's how I look at it.
Okay.
But we're drinking and using, you already know.
Right. I think each one of you has mentioned it in your stories here, the book. Tell me about the book. And that's the AA book? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
It's titled Alcoholics Anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
We call it the Big Book, the Big Book of AA. What else do we call it? What's in there, Wayne?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Possibilities of recovery,
mm-hmm.
and the 12 steps and a bunch of stories. And for a lot of people that can't identify with the steps in the beginning, just reading the stories in the back of the book introduces them to identification. there's bound to be a story in there that anybody can identify with. But in the first 164 pages, we have the program of recovery, which introduces you to the steps, a way of living which is way different than you could possibly even imagine.
So, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, don't let me stop.
There's a chapter called More About Alcoholism. There's a chapter called There is a Solution. There's a chapter called
We Agnostics.
We Agnostics, yeah. Working with others. So it's basically how to do what we do, how to find a solution other than drinking. Because alcohol was the solution for me for quite some time. But you take that away when I know it wasn't going to work anymore. What else am I going to do instead? And the answer's in that book.
In the beginning of this book, there's a thing called the doctor's opinion. And that gets overlooked so often. The doctor's opinion has, again, it's a place where if I can't identify with something in there, I might not be in the right program. Mm-hmm. It tells us in there that men and women drink essentially because we like the effect produced by alcohol. Boy, hear, hear. That was my case. If I can't identify with that, I'm in the wrong place. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's just the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous has never lied to me. Everything in there I have found to be true.
I have noted a couple of times in previous years that people have come in with that book. Mm-hmm. Holding it almost like a Bible or a shield. Does that book mean that much to you? Is it like a, compared to a Bible, I would imagine. That book is very important, it appears.
It is very important. I think it is like a Bible in the fact that it's a book of instructions on how to do life. Also, if you're afraid of the word God and Bible, don't be. I was like that when I first came in. And the book does say that, the point is to find a power greater than yourself in order to recover from needing to drink every single day. But again, there's nothing to be afraid of. I think that once I got to the point where I could not stop drinking, though I wanted to every single day, like at the end, I would stick my finger down my throat and throw up my 2 bottles of wine a night because I needed to pull myself together to get to work the next day, to be a mom and all of that stuff. So when I could not by myself stop, I needed to find a solution. And that's what I found in Alcoholics Anonymous.
Let's move to a different area here, because in past shows we've talked about the 12 steps and tried to get through all the 12 steps, and we just don't have time really to get through all the 12 steps. So, Kashmir, let's start with you. What step was most important to you? Put you right on the spot, didn't we?
Yeah, it does, because there's a reason they're in that order, and I struggled with the first one. Admitting I was powerless over alcohol, I just thought I needed to stop. For a while. So anything I was powerless over, I was a control freak. And I didn't do that well.
So how'd you get through that first step?
You know what? I faked it. I just said, okay, I'm powerless. And this is the beauty of the program. You don't have to do them perfectly. There's nothing about this is not going to... I had very definite views of heaven and hell when I came in. And the God of my understanding was a very demanding God, and I had failed, and I identified with that, so I figured, well, I can't do this. So when I got to step three, when I was willing to accept that there was a power greater than myself, I used the rooms. I used the people in the rooms, and that made it easier to just say, okay, I'm powerless. I'll fake this. And so as you grow and you just being honest, they don't say you have to do them perfectly, but if you can do them honestly, that makes all the difference.
Are you still faking it?
No. Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm sure there are times. I'm human, okay? I'm fake, yeah.
But successfully. But successfully.
Yeah. The great part about this is we get these wonderful 12 steps, right? And they're just suggested. And as you grow, as you continue to stay open-minded and willing, talk to somebody honestly to the best of my ability, I have found that I have found more honesty with myself, and it was relieving, the things I was afraid or ashamed to admit. I have other issues, and alcohol worked to cover a lot of those for a long time, and I found out that was just a symptom of my problem, hence 6 marriages. kind of just glaring at you, right? So, but I didn't think that even then. It was a joke. So for me, every step had this ability to give me an opportunity to be honest with myself a little more. And I didn't have to understand them, but I was willing to speak with a person honestly. We call them sponsors now, but it's a trusted friend. And you're willing to put it out there as much as you can. And every time you do that, as you gradually work through the steps, we often say we go over them, we do them many times. I happen to live my life, it's my basis for living. So it isn't about going through 1 through 12 anymore. Mm-hmm. What's appropriate now? Doing a step 4 might help at this point, right?
Okay. You said you don't have to do the things perfectly.
No.
All right. Does the organization hold you to a certain situation? Do you have to sign an oath?
The greatest line that I skipped when I first got there was, the only requirement to be a member of AA is the desire to stop drinking.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. All right, Lisa, tell me about the worst step for you, hardest step for you.
Hardest step for me? Well, I was terrified of the fourth step.
What is the fourth step?
The fourth step is taking a fearless and moral inventory of yourself. So that is writing out, putting pen to paper about any resentments I have over to people, about people, places, things, institutions, writing out a fear inventory. What am I afraid of? Writing out a sex inventory, mm-hmm. And putting, and then, so I guess all writing all of that down is not the most terrifying part. The fact that I'm going to share that with another human being was pretty terrifying. So that's step 4 is the taking of the inventory. Step 5 is sharing that with another person. Often it's a sponsor. It can be, you know, somebody if you do practice a religion, it could be somebody, you know, at your church. It could be another trusted friend. Hopefully it's somebody who's gone through the steps before, so they, you know, kind of know the process. But with step 5, although I was terrified to do it, it was where I learned to be honest with another human being for the very first time in my life. And it's where I experienced unconditional love and somebody else who just listened to all of those things that I was going to take with me to the grave and never tell anybody else about, and to have absolutely no judgment or even, a rolling of the eyes or anything but love come from that. So that was impactful for me. So it started out as feeling terrified and ended up as being very... life-changing.
All right. Wayne, toughest step for you?
I'm kind of with Lisa. When I finally got in here and stayed here, I was involved in step studies, book studies, whatever, because my sponsor suggested that if I have that in a list of my must meetings, my chances of recovery were better. And the people in these meetings were talking about the fear of the fourth step, the dreaded fourth step. And I didn't find that to be so fearful, because I'm just writing this stuff down. It's the fifth step.
The sharing.
The sharing. When I have to share that with another human being, see, God already knows, I know, but to share that with another human being, that thing I'm going to take to my grave with me, I don't think so. And what I found out is when I finally did this, there is nothing new under the sun, nothing that I have done or that was done to me that hasn't been done to somebody else or by them. And I realize we're all the same. And that brings us back to that fear inventory. Why was I drinking like I drank for so many years? Fear was an underlying cause. And what kept me out of here initially in the beginning was that I admitted I was an alcoholic for years and years. Why do you drink like that, Wayne? I'm an alcoholic. Until I could admit to my innermost self that I'm powerless over this. I drink today. It's going to kick me one more time. I know that. I know that. I just don't want to go back to where I was the day before I got here. So I come to radio stations like this. Anyway.
All right. All right. Lisa, let's hit these numbers one more time here.
All right. In Grants Pass, 541-474-0782. That will connect you with another alcoholic who can give you direction to the next thing to do to get help. Or you can go to grantspassaa.com. In Medford, 1-850. There's only four numbers there. And that's jcoaa.org. Also, you could just Google AA Grants Pass, AA Medford, and you'll get all kinds of, you'll get linked right to those.
All right, Kashmir, what's going on this weekend at the Hilo Club?
We are going to be having our marathon, or a 24-hour open door. So by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, our doors will be open. We'll have meetings every hour on the hour for 45 minutes. And it's a safe place. Get a hot cup of coffee, a warm place, and hopefully an invitation to sit down and talk.
All right. Help's available if you're looking for it or if you feel like you need it. And we'll continue right after this word.
When you're facing it.
Welcome back, everyone. Our guest from Alcoholics Anonymous today. There's a public service here from Grants Pass Broadcasting. We've got Kashmir, Lisa, and Wayne all in studio. And Kashmir, it's a 12-step program. Do I have to do them in order?
It's highly recommended. But it's, you know what, we say it's progress, not perfection. And some people's stories are they just couldn't get the first two.
Okay.
But they, you know, wander through. And you will find you will end up doing them all in order at some point because it makes sense.
All right. Sounds like you repeat them occasionally.
Well, yes.
through the recovery.
It's super cool because if you think about it, if you're floundering just in life without anything, sometimes you don't know how to get to a solution. And here's a suggestion in order with support behind you to put it out there. So I highly recommend it.
Yeah. All right. Tell me about the 12th step. We've never gotten to the 12th step here on this program.
That's the best. Okay, for me, it's the best.
Okay.
So it says, having finished these steps, we've had a spiritual awakening. I'm paraphrasing this quickly. That is the most beautiful part because what I do know for me, that my relief of my addiction and alcoholism came from understanding a loving higher power for myself. My spiritual awakening came through using and sharing and working these steps. And because I think the bottom line is if you're willing and honest and you have some direction, it's a wonderful path and you can't be left with anything but a spiritual awakening. It's a wonderful aha. You're not alone and you don't have to be alone. And there is much more to do or be a part of. An awareness I never even understood before, and every day it grows because of it.
All right. Lisa, tell me about your 12th step.
Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. So really that's what we're doing here today, is we are hoping that somebody out there is needing to hear what we have to say and knowing that there's a solution. The practicing the principles in all our affairs part is being the person that God has intended me to be all along, out there in the world. So, less of a G-rated jerk than I used to be, you know, before I came into these rooms, and that's what it's all about for me.
All right, Wayne.
Again, Lisa stole everything that I was going to say. So
somehow, I think you'll find a way.
Today we get to go into other places. We get to carry this 12-step into other institutions. Think Jackson County Jails, Josephine County Jails. I know what's happening here. OYA. And whether or not anybody in there hears our message or gets it, we plant a seed. We possibly plant a seed. We don't know when it may germinate. But the fact is, this is our legacy. This is why if I just get sober to stay sober, that's selfish of me. If I can't try to give it away, that's where the lights come on for me. And I know today that I almost missed this. I also know that these steps are divinely. If I look at these steps, I know that they were gleaned from different religions that go back centuries and centuries and centuries. It's nothing that was just made up overnight. And what a way to live. Lisa talked about the principles as well. I don't think I had any of those in my life when I got here. Honesty, integrity, blah, blah, blah. It goes on and on and on. A way to live holy. Anyway, I love this thing.
All right. Do those numbers one more time for me,
all
would
right.
you please?
In Grants Pass, 541-474-0782. In Jackson County, 541-732-1850. And once again, just Google Medford AA, Grants Pass AA, and you'll find us.
All right. I have about 3 minutes left of this program. What should people take away from today's program? And I'll hit one of you each pretty quickly. Kashmir, what should people take away from today's program?
There is a solution if you know someone or if you are someone that has a problem with drugs or alcohol. AA is a solution.
All right. Lisa.
absolutely what Kashmir said. There is a solution, and you don't have to drink again, even if you don't, even if you want to, or if you don't want to. You just don't have to.
And I hope that we offer a little hope. Mm-hmm. If you find yourself getting up in the morning and you say, I'm not going to drink today, and you're wasted at the end of the night, we have a solution. Mm-hmm. We have a solution that works extremely well and offers much, much more, a design for living that I didn't even know existed.
Yeah, all right. Let's hit those numbers again. We can't hit those numbers too many times.
All right. In Grants Pass, 541-474-0782, and in Medford, 541-732-1850.
All right. And at the Hilo Club?
It is from 2 o'clock, the New Year's Eve, apologies, and it'll be going for 24 hours. Every hour on the hour, we'll be having meetings. We'll keep the doors open. Place is warm and friendly people.
All right. That's let me look at the clock here. All right. I've got about a minute and a half. Usually when I say that 3 minutes, somebody will take it all here.
It's usually one.
Is there a personal message you'd like to pass out? If any one of you hear about AA or what's coming in your life. Oh, golly, everybody's looking at everybody else here. Somebody step forward here.
You know, Wayne mentioned a design for living, and that is what I always like to share, is that I knew that AA could help me stop drinking. I did not know it would give me directions for how to live my life, mm-hmm. and that's what I hear echoed when almost everybody shares their story in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. It gives us the directions on how to do the things that we didn't know how to do before we got here.
Yeah, all right. Last thought, Wayne?
I'm speechless.
I'm going to mark that down.
That's yeah, definitely do that.
Kashmir, last thoughts.
I'm just so grateful because without the fact is having had a spiritual awakening, it would be hard to resist the urge not to share this message.
All right, and we have time for those phone numbers. Can't get those out enough here.
All right,
here.
One last time. In Grants Pass, call 541-474-0782. And in Medford, 541-732-1850. Or just Google AA Medford AA Grants Pass, and you'll find us.
All right, and a 24-hour party at the Hilo Club beginning that's at 2 o'clock on New Year's Eve. And it goes for 24 hours there. That's at the corner of Lincoln and Bridge. I want to thank you all very much, Wayne, Lisa, Kashmir, for sharing. We appreciate your efforts here, and I'm sure it's fallen on some ears out there that really needed to hear it. So thank you all very much for your time and your efforts and your dedication. We can see that in each one of you, and hopefully that all follows you out with positive things through the new year. So
thanks. Same to you, Chuck.
All right. And all of you, we want to remind you, you're listening to KAJO AM 1270, 99.7 on the FM band, all around the world on KAJO.com. News is coming up here on KAJO in just about a little over a minute. But thank you all very much. And the next Tuesday Talk Show will be next year.
Oh, what? No matter what.